Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 67 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our final days of 2020. Seth, are you as excited for this year to end?
Oh, I cannot. I cannot wait to, I would say to stop writing 2020 on my checks, but I haven't written a check in I don't know how long. So yeah, I just want to wipe this whole year. Let's just move on. Let's just move on. But we had a really great Christmas to make up for it. It was a very quiet Christmas, just me and my wife and my cat, and I think I want every holiday to be like that. You know, it was great FaceTiming with the family and all. But it was really nice not having the pressure of having to cook for people and clean and get everything. You know, we did reorganize our pantry just for fun. And we ate a bunch of Chinese food because that's what Jewish people do on Christmas. I think like a lot of people, we streamed a lot of things this week. Is that what your Christmas was like?
Yeah, well, we told ourselves we were going to put up the tree and wrap presents and do the whole thing and make it feel like Christmas. And then Christmas Eve came along and we were like, let's just watch Muppet Christmas Carol and call it a day. So we ended up not wrapping any presents. I took everything that all of Josh's presents shipped in, was like, here you go.
Amazon wrapped them for you.
Right? And we had pancakes, classic like breakfast that morning, and had some nice dinner from our local grocery store HEB because that was the only thing that was open on Christmas, and just kind of chilled out, streamed a lot. I've been plowing through Cyberpunk, and as I told Seth before we started, I finished the game about an hour ago.
Congratulations.
And I'm officially starting the Cyberpunk 2077 Defense Force. It is a good game that was marred by a lot of bugs and some very unfortunate choices by executives. It is a good game, and I am standing by it. Fight me.
Yeah. I really feel for the people who crunched on that like 100 hours a week for like years and, you know, probably didn't see their families so they could pour their work into a game that just gets demolished for things that were way out of their pay grade.
Yeah.
Hopefully the patches will make everyone happy.
Yeah, as far as my end, I know I'm playing on a next-gen console, but the really main thing that I'm dealing with now is crashes, soft crashes. Mm. But they are maybe like one every 2 hours. So it's not super extreme. I don't have any crazy clipping or anything weird floating people in cars and things of that nature. But it was good. I did the Corpo life path, and I picked, for those of you that like to read the Wikipedia pages like me, I picked the rogue ending. That's all I'm going to say about it, for just so we don't get any spoilers in the house.
Okay. you're going to have to wait a little while for most people to work their way through that.
Yeah, well, that was what my Christmas 3-day weekend was for.
Awesome.
All right, well, let's get started by getting into the news. Well, as Seth said, this holiday was full of streaming goodness. One of which being a movie that I've been telling everyone to watch for the past month and a half is Pixar's Soul, directed by Pete Docter. And I would go so far as to say might be Pixar's best so far.
It's Pixar has done so much great work over the years. It's really hard, but they really top themselves with this. I didn't know very much about the plot. And I would say that it was one of the few movies that, you know, I thought I saw where the twist was going and where the movie was headed, and then it completely surprised me, at least twice during the
Oh,
movie.
wow.
We just love this. It made me cry. Won't not ashamed to admit
No, yeah, no
it.
shame.
But I like that's a low bar because like pretty much every Pixar movie makes me cry at some point.
Fair.
But it had I hate to say it, but the movie had so much soul that it had so much genuine feeling and emotion and I don't want to spoil anything about it, but this is worth signing up for Disney Plus for sure.
Absolutely agree. I got to watch this movie back in November. They sent out
So
copies
jealous.
to media, and I had to watch it on my laptop through the screening app that we use. And I was just like sitting on the couch, full on like sobbing afterward for maybe like 20 minutes because this is like a Pixar movie for adults, geared towards adults. Kids will like it, but they won't get it. Whereas normally with Pixar films, it's the other way around. Like kids love it and they get it, but there's something for the adults too. This movie has so much to say about purpose and whether life is meaningful and how you can best live it. Oh, it's so beautiful. And then there's a lot of discussion around worthiness and negative self-talk, especially with 22, that I found really resonated with me. And I just loved it. It felt like a real slice of life in a more contained kind of way than we're used to with Pixar. It's always such a grand, sprawling adventure with Pixar, but I feel like we mostly just saw the same few blocks of New York City and the Great Before. And I liked that. I liked that it was so self-contained.
But what I loved was that it was a part of New York that we don't often see, and you know, rendered with such amazing texture and detail for that community. And again, like I think that no matter what demographic, no matter where you come from, you'll find something to identify with in this movie. I think Pixar basically devoting a movie to black characters and black situations, black community. But making something that is completely identifiable with everyone of every color. I mean, that's what Pixar does. Like, if they can make you identify with a fish, they can make you identify with anyone, obviously.
Yeah.
But what I thought was also really cool was if you're a creative person, if you're a musician or a writer, or you know, even an athlete, if you're anyone who understands about flow state and what it's like to like get in the groove and understand what like a mystical experience that can be, I think this movie visualizes that better than anything I've ever seen.
It just, they just, this movie and Inside Out, I feel, are very like spiritually connected.
Another one from the same director.
Yeah, but this one just kind of takes those ideas and really just nails it, absolutely nails it.
I think this one's going to hold up really well over the years.
And I definitely could see this sweeping the animation category and also best original screenplay. Kent Powers knocked it out of the park with this one. It's funny, it's heartfelt, it's emotional, beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross of
Yeah, I
Nine
was
Inch
just gonna say,
Nails.
great score, a great score. And until I saw the credits, I was like, "Wow, I would never have." Because, you know, I still think of yes, I still think of Trent Reznor as Nine Inch Nails and like the Doom and Quake soundtrack. So,
Yeah.
so
Also,
big thumbs up from both of us.
yes. Also, lots of Epcot World Showcase, World's Fair vibes in there too. Future World. Loved that. Now, Wonder Woman 1984, I have not gotten to watch that yet. However, I'm on the internet.
Yeah, the consensus has not been kind.
No.
Here's my advice. Put it on Mm-hmm. Watch the first 30 or 45 minutes or so.
Okay.
And then go away. It starts with great energy, great potential.
Mm-hmm.
Patty Jenkins, as a director, you know, she's got a good visual style. And, you know, it starts out very promising with all the fun 80s fashions and, you know, references. And then it starts getting into the plot.
As we do.
And I like, you know, it's got a great cast, supporting cast, Pedro Pascal as the bad guy and Kristen Wiig as sort of Wonder Woman's frenemy. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. There's just, without digging into the plot,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of stuff in the plot that just didn't make a whole lot of sense and that didn't make Wonder Woman as a character look very good, very, very noble or very invested, or she doesn't come across great in a lot of the decisions she makes in the movie.
Oh, no.
And
this is her movie, though.
And the thing really is that a lot of the CGI does not look great. For a movie that they had extra time to work on, that was supposed to come out a while ago, and it was like, all right, we've got some extra time here. There's some stuff that looks fantastic, but there's some animation and, you know, digital stunt double stuff that's just really wonky.
Oh no.
I'm glad I saw it. I'm glad I have HBO Max so I can check that one off.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would not be rushing out to a multiplex to sit next to strangers to watch it in a big screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but a lot of the journalists that I follow that work in the film space wondered if this was the same movie that they got to see for screenings or not.
Really?
Because originally when it came out for critics, it was certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. And then it came out on HBO Max and immediately lost its fresh rating. The user score.
It must have been a very different movie. Like a different script.
Because it was rave reviews for it.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to wrap my head around.
Maybe they watched the first 45 minutes and figured that the rest would. Yeah, it you know, it hooked me for the first act, and then it sort of went off the rails and didn't recover for me. Oh well, Drew in our chat disagrees. Yeah, there's a lot of big emotional dramatic stuff in the third act that I didn't feel was really earned, in the way that Marvel movies tend to earn their big payoffs. But like I said, if you're an HBO subscriber, you get it for free. So it doesn't matter what I say. Go watch it.
I will go watch it. We do have HBO Max. I have to ask, though, did you like the first Wonder Woman?
I love the
when
first
that came
Wonder
out.
Woman.
Yeah.
Yes, I thought the first one was fantastic. Definitely the best DC film by far. And so I was hoping for something in that ballpark. And yeah, it's not, you know, Joss Whedon's Justice League bad. But
worked on the script for this one, though.
We're talking like Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman territory for me. You know?
Well, it's somehow got a third one greenlit with Patty Jenkins back to write and direct.
It was no Bird of Prey, and I didn't think Bird of Prey was any Wonder Woman, so.
I love Birds of Prey more than Wonder Woman, so our opinions are just running the gamut here.
All right. So why don't you go watch it, and next week we will have a full review from you.
Yes, yes. I will share my thoughts with you guys next week, I promise. Quickie update from Epcot. We now have the dates for the Taste of Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival, meaning that we're still getting the Taste of series, right, at least for the foreseeable future.
So if we got half of the Flower and Garden Festival in 2020, and now we're getting a Taste of, does that add up to one full festival yet? It's like 79% of the festival now, I think. You combine the 2 years.
Yeah, I guess like two-thirds of a festival. Yeah.
So basically, if you only worked your way halfway around World Showcase during 2021, you could pick up the rest this time. And I don't know, maybe you could keep your passport or...
Hey.
No, I think you got to get all new stamps.
Yeah, in case they add any new things to the... Yep. The menu. Well, this year's event starts on March 3rd, 2021. Weird that we're talking about 2021 these days, with 20 different outdoor kitchen spaces, and it will run through July 5th. So we've got plenty of time.
So basically, we've got the holidays ending. We're taking a week and a half or so off before the Arts Festival begins. And then I think it's less than 2 weeks from the end of the Festival of the Arts to the beginning of Flower and Garden. So not many opportunities for Diet Epcot without the festivals this year.
I was just going to say something about Diet Epcot. If you're a fan, you've got approximately like 3 weeks.
Yeah, spread out over the next year. Yeah.
Oh, man. We'll see returning offerings like Spike's Pollination Exploration Scavenger Hunt. Some festival-specific merchandise will be back. And, of course, the character topiaries, which is always nice. I wondered if they would still make a return or not, depending on crowding and things. But fingers crossed that 2021 will provide a better situation than this year.
Yeah.
In some delicious Disney Springs news... Gideon's Bakehouse is now officially open at Disney Springs. Have you gotten a chance to go? I know that line was like 3 hours long.
Oh no. Day. So I have been eating Gideon's since they first opened here in Orlando at the East End Market, which is this amazing local co-op that's not too far from my house. And I don't know if any cookie on earth is worth a 3 hour line. but you know, their original place has always got a long line. Their gimmick is that these cookies are extremely thick and extremely loaded with they're almost more of a candy than a cookie, because you've got more, you know, chocolate chip or nuts or whatever than flour and eggs in there. The cool thing about it is in East End Market, they're basically just a little counter inside a food hall. Here, they've got a space that they've really themed out with, like, some, I don't know, some, like, kind of Tim Burton-esque gothic. It looks a little like, I don't know, Haunted Mansion-esque.
I love it.
If you're going to wait 3 hours to get into a cookie store, at least it looks cool on the inside.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting some Sleepy Hollow vibes off of this. Though, I have to be honest, looking at these cookies, I feel like I would throw up if I ate one.
Okay, so they are kind of divisive because, like I said, they are so overloaded with stuff that they barely meet the definition of a cookie. You also need to share this with at least two or three other people.
Oh my gosh.
Because trying to eat one of these by yourself is just a recipe for instant diabetes. You're gonna feel so terrible. These things weigh like a pound, I think. They could hurt someone with them.
I have a huge sweet tooth. So I can't turn down stuff like this, but I know I'll take two bites of it and be like, I've made a terrible mistake. But they look delicious. The venue looks gorgeous on the inside. I love this art.
I will say we have someone in our chat right now. If this is the Lisa Smith that I'm thinking of, they are an amazing scenic artist in town. And apparently contributed to Gideon's. So, bravo, good work.
Excellent work. It looks fantastic, especially those giant cookie models in the windows. I want a cookie. I want to know, for the holidays when they opened, they had two different menus, a naughty and a nice menu.
Nice.
I want to know what the Krampus cookie von Krampus tasted like.
It tastes like ash.
Oh, lovely.
Maybe it's made with like activated charcoal. That would be, you know, appropriate.
Well, Theron, our friend and reporter Theron was there. Did you try the Krampus cookie? If you did, I need to know. Was it sinfully delicious? Like,
it's easily the equivalent of four or five normal cookies. So,
man,
yeah, the pricing is not ridiculous. But a 3-hour wait is.
I think they implemented a virtual queue at one point, but that was after the physical line had gotten really long.
Honestly, I think that even though the one in Orlando gets long waits, you could still drive from Disney Springs to the original location, wait for a cookie there, and drive back to Disney Springs in less time
than
it would take to wait in that line.
Well, I'll keep that in mind next time I'm in town. Get a fast pass for Gideon's. Over at Epcot, we got some beautiful new looks at the brand new pylons at the entrance fountain. It looks phenomenal. I love it. It's beautiful. It's glossy. It lights up. And I can't wait to see what that new lighting package for Spaceship Earth looks like paired with these.
Okay, I'm gonna embarrass myself by sharing something here. Let's see if I can share this Chrome tab.
This is a welcome space. No embarrassment. Aww.
So this is me at my first visit to Epcot. This is gonna be around 1983 or 1984. So Epcot still really new, and that is the original fountain back there. That they are paying tribute to with the new fountain, and as you can see, the pylons are a pretty good reproduction of the original one.
Mm-hmm.
But the fountain around it, they've actually made a bunch of modifications. The original surface was smoother, and I believe now that it's a rougher surface. And you can see this very kind of early 80s-tastic blue tile that surrounded it. And I think they've wisely gotten away from that one. and then of course there's me, and I'm wearing an Admiral Akbar shirt, just to warn everyone that it's a trap. You gotta love the socks. Socks with shorts. Socks pulled all the way up with shorts.
Yep.
That's the 80s, folks.
Honestly,
right there in a picture.
That fit would be cool now. So, it's all of those things. The high socks, the dolphin shorts, the tank tops. Those are all back in style now. So you.
Well, I should have hang on to it because it wasn't in style the first time when I was wearing it.
You should recreate this photo next time you go to Epcot. outfit and everything.
I'll talk to my dad and my brother about that. I don't know if they're going to be into that one.
Oh. Well.
All right. How do I get this thing off the screen?
I will get rid of it for you.
Thank you. So I'm excited to get to see this updated version of the fountain in person. And it's great to see that at least some element of the reimagining of Epcot that we were promised is actually happening.
Yeah. So, yeah. For once, the progress walls are down. Sorry, I can't say that. Now I'm waiting to see the Walt statue that made me cry while I was covering mm-hmm. D23 2019. Yeah, it was just like really emotional when they showed it and talked about it. It was like, oh. But that's going to be on the opposite side of where this fountain is someday. We don't know when. But I love it. I think it turned out so cool. And it feels like, I don't know, like it never left.
Yeah, it's so hard to remember how the PTSD from the gravestones, the Leave a Legacy monuments, they were just there for so long, and now it seems like they were never there at all, and it's so wonderful.
It's for the best.
I'm sorry to anyone who worked on that project or who spent money on a tile and now feels like their childhood has been removed. I'm sorry, but it's so much prettier now.
Yeah, look at that, the view right here, like walking into Epcot. Yeah. Right there, you would have had these giant things in the way. Mm-hmm. You can't beat that. No offense to your big tombstones. No. And our last bit of news in the queue for this week, this happened literally Christmas Day. During the Disney Parks Magical Christmas Day celebration on ABC, they showed off a look at the Disney Wish cruise ship coming soon in 2022, which is when it will take its first launch, and please, showed off the please. Atrium that's themed to Cinderella, and it looks beautiful.
Yeah. The atriums of all of the Disney cruise ships are gorgeous, and since this is going to be their biggest ship yet, right? So it's got to have the most spacious and opulent atrium, and of course a statue that looks like someone took a Cinderella straight out of the parks and dipped her in 24 karat gold. I'm reminded of that opening scene in the James Bond film Goldfinger. Where there's the girl who's been suffocated to death by being painted with gold. Pure gold. I wonder if there is, you know, if you peel away a little of paint, if there's someone in underneath. Blue saying, underneath. Please.
Well, please now I'm thinking about the Goldfinger theme. Yeah, she looks very. I think somehow mentally comparing this statue to the one at Disney Springs and WOD, and how, I don't know, that one seems very akin to the cartoon, but this one feels like a Disney Parks cartoon version of her, if that makes sense.
I know I may be wrong, but I believe all of the other ships are members of the Fab Five, right? They're like Mickey or... I don't think they've ever had a human character as the icon statue in the rotunda before, and I'm looking forward to seeing it in person and seeing what it looks like, because this is just a piece of concept art that I think we've zoomed in on because they just sort of put out one image that we got a screen capture of here. So hopefully more details will be released in the future, including what that restaurant is in the background.
Yeah, the Disney cruise ships, it's my dream to go on, I'm not sure what ship it is, but the one that has Tiana's place.
I think that's the Wonder.
That's my bucket list thing for me. Mm-hmm. So any kind of immersive restaurant experience is most welcome. Though what I wonder is why Rapunzel is the character featured on the back, but she's not like the icon of the ship, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I think on the other ships that the character on the stern is not the same character in the atrium. But okay. We need someone who's been on all the boats to verify that for us. So please write in. Tell us we're wrong.
Yeah. Maybe this will be just a big Disney princess ship.
This just makes me want to get... I want to get a vaccine, and I want everyone else on the boat to get a vaccine, but then I want to get back on a cruise ship. I don't know if it happened in 2021, but I will be so excited when 2022 rolls around for this boat to finally launch.
Yeah, I've never even been on a cruise, let alone a Disney cruise. So I would
Matt,
like to
if you're listening, you need to fix that.
Maybe one of these days I'll head out to the port at Galveston, try to catch something.
Absolutely.
And for our main attraction this week, since it was the holidays, there wasn't a ton of big news coming out, but just this past week, they announced a real opening date for Disney's Blizzard Beach Water Park.
Yay!
This is the only one of the two at Walt Disney World that I've been to personally.
So as of March 7th, 2021, you will have a choice other than Aquatica if you want to go to a water park.
Blizzard Beach is fun. I feel like people prefer Typhoon.
And I was going to bring that up. I thought it was a little interesting. I don't know if Blizzard Beach maybe has more capacity. Mm-hmm. Though they've added so many slides to Typhoon Lagoon in recent years where they haven't added anything to Blizzard Beach that I know of. I'm curious why they've chosen Blizzard Beach and not Typhoon Lagoon to open first.
Yeah. I'm not sure. That's a great question.
But either way, it means that they can start charging for those water parks and more tickets once again, because they have a water park. I guess it's water park and more, not water parks.
But you can head over on March 7th to enjoy the water park if you wish. And your unused and unexpired one-day Disney water park tickets have been extended through December 31st of next year. So you can go visit if you want to. If you're not able to visit by that time, though, you can use the value of that unused ticket towards a future trip if you would like.
It warmed up a little today, but it's been like 40, 50 degrees here in Orlando. So I'm looking forward to March or sometime around then wanting to go to a water park.
Drew says, probably since Blizzard Beach just finished a big refurb.
It's a good, that makes good sense. Thought. Yep, gives them more time to give Typhoon Lagoon some love.
Get the return on that investment. What I want to see is more people going on Summit Plummet. I did that once and it frightened the life out of me. And I want other people to have that same experience.
Well, if that scared you, you should really avoid the big slide at Volcano Bay.
Oh, I've done that one too.
Oh, you've done that one too?
I actually did that on E&L. You can go find the old episode if you want.
Of course you did. And I have watched every single episode and I... Never mind.
I remember getting in the tube. Vincent was filming me, and he said you could just hear me scream, and then it was like my voice disappeared because I. Both horrifying. I will never do them again, but I'm glad I did them the first
time. Once was enough?
Yes, once was more than enough, I think. Yeah. But that's it. This is a shorty this week.
Well, I mean, I think the newsmakers of the world were... hopefully spending the holidays with their families.
Yes.
So we can be forgiven. You can use the next 25 minutes to go and watch the Charlie Brown Peanuts Christmas special.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone needs to do that at least once each Christmas.
Aren't they all on Apple TV now, though?
I think so. We invest in the Blu-ray for that one because we didn't want to, you know, be at the whim of whatever company happens to buy the rights this year.
I should have done that. But before we go, I have a few listener thank yous to share. Now, if you don't know, Attractions Magazine has a 3-tier subscription service, and you can pick the one that fits for you. But if you pick the club or VIP tiers, you get a shout out the week after you subscribe on the Attractions podcast. So without further ado, big thank yous and hugs to Levi Valentine, Deborah Euler, and Joseph Barney. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And if you are looking for that last minute gift for someone that you forgot to buy a Christmas gift for, our winter 2020-2021 issue is now available at attractionsmagazine.com/store. Pick it up. Makes a great gift.
Three Kings Day. You still have time.
Oh, yeah. Get 3 copies. There you go. And until next week, I guess until 2021,
yes.
We hope you stay safe, wear your mask, wash your hands, and have fun.
Should we tell people where they can find us for the rest of this year?
Oh, yes, you're right. My brain. 2020 has done a number on me. Seth.
You can find Brittany under her Christmas tree.
Yes.
You can.
I didn't put it up this year.
Literally under it. It's lying on the floor.
I'm just like planking underneath my tree.
Well, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at skuberski or at the UG series, and on the web at theunofficialguides.com.
And you can find me under my Christmas tree at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram. And every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractions magazine on Instagram, and of course, youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you're spending your last Sunday of 2020 watching this with us, watching my brain explode.
And we appreciate it.
We do.
We really do.
And I already said bye to you once, so I'm not going to do it again.
So I'll say goodbye, everyone. Have a healthy, safe new year, and we will see you in 2021.
Bye, everybody. Bye.